Welcome to Flawed and Free Podcast. This is the place where we save souls and set the captives free from spiritual bondage in deliverance and spiritual warfare. My name is Apostle Tina, and our mission is to help you win the warfare in your life by equipping you to sever spiritual strongholds, break generational curses, and find freedom from your now to your next. Join our community of freedom fighters through transparency to transformation in Christ Jesus. Make sure you go now, like, subscribe, and share. God bless. Evangelism outreach at one of the truck stops north, and we saw a lot of God's people see him, some for the first time, some not, and God moved mightily yesterday. Shout out to Flawed and Free, the evangelism outreach team, for putting together such an amazing moment that we were able to create. You know, our goals are souls, and we going to get them. We are going to get them. North, south, east, and west, wherever the Lord sends us, we're going to get them. Many of them would have never touched those doors right there, but they were able to see him yesterday through us as we moved into a place where he could dwell. Glory be to God. Let's get into today's sermon. We're going to have communion today, so this is why this is here today. It is First Sunday, so we will be having communion, a very sacred time we're going to have together. And then we're having fellowship afterwards. We're going to eat and break bread and share the good news of Christ and love on one another. Amen. As a family, the family that we are called to. And speaking of family, God has been doing a new thing in me with sermons and preparing for sermons and things. From the last couple of weeks, he's been doing some different things. So I've been deep in study and preparing for the message. And I finally got what I believe to be the message. Yet again, not the message. So I have a testimony, and some of you might have heard or mentioned me make mention to warfare and seasons of separation through my consecrated seasons and chasing after Christ and building for the kingdom. And the Lord speaks very heavily to families being divided in the word of God. The closer you get to God, the more people pull away. And the more the devil begins to try to have his way in those that he will allow. And so as we're speaking to Fellowship Sunday, First Sunday, Communion Sunday, as you all are my family, God did a new thing and restored something the enemy was trying to take from me and my family. All three of my children actually have been attacked in the same way. But God told me Friday morning after prayer that what we were going to talk about was not what we were going to talk about. No, Saturday. It was Saturday, not Friday. Saturday. Because I had been praying for a long time concerning my prodigal coming home. One of them already came home. She's here. One of them already came home. Actually, two, both. My son started the cycle, I think. And he had went to go be with my ex-husband, wanting to be with his father for a season, and the Lord sent him back. It was the most devastating thing at that time because the Lord told me to let him go. And I did not want to. He's my youngest. He's my baby. And he's a lot of my light. And that was a season where I'd lost, or what seemed to have lost. I didn't lose anything. I gained more than what I lost. But God was very aggressively pulling family, friends, my career, my job. So the last thing I had was my kids. So when he asked me to give him what I would call at that time my Isaac, that's what it was. And I learned some things about living and building for Christ and having to give what you deem to be one of the most precious things to you. When God said, give it to me, you have to give it to me. I actually felt and understood how Abraham felt, because it felt like a death. It really did. And he said, give him to me, let him go. And I cried for 3 days and I let him go, but God brought him back. God brought him back after a few years, and the enemy tried to destroy him in his absence from me. So we've been rebuilding since he's come back last year, 2024. Then my daughter left to go sow her royal oats in high school, 18, you know, live her life, go to college, and all those things. And the enemy tried to take her, brought her back. And the last one was my oldest son, my firstborn, my 27-year-old, who has gone through quite a bit. In his defense, the first always gets the worst in some areas. Because I was 21 when I had him, so I wasn't saved. I was still clubbing and dropping him off at grandma's house. So he's seen every facet of my transition and change. And sometimes people don't grow with you in that. And so he loves the Lord and he knows God. And so the enemy heavily attacked that relationship and separated us. We were no contact since June of last year. And he back. The Lord brought him back. I said, Lord, I got all my babies. I got all my children back. But I gave him to the Lord. And that's what kind of leads me into today, because I got a question for everybody in this room. Because as y'all know, I'm real raw, real transparent. I tell on myself, and God forbid I have to use any life applicable examples for any of you that are in the room. But I promise you, it is not from a place of hurt or harm. It's from a place of testimony. So some people would be like, you talking about me? I know a lot of people, when I talk about demons sometime and certain deliverances with Jezebel or Lilith, and people claim the demon, like, that demon ain't yours. Jezebel everywhere. She talk apostle talking about me. I just got a demon of Jezebel cast out of me. She up there talking about me on the podium. Like, no, girl, no, Jezebel everywhere. So, you know, as the Lord helped me, I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me put this together, because this was something that was very deep, very, very deep, very hurtful. One of the most hurtful things I've ever experienced in life. And I'm like, how am I going to share this? He said, I'll help you. So I'm like, cool. So nonetheless, here we are. And I was asking the question, two, how many of you have heard or know the story, the parable of the prodigal son? Okay. If you haven't, read Luke. Okay. So it looks like everybody in here has. Okay, cool. Romans 8 gives us the adoption through Christ to become sons of God. If you don't know that, read Romans 8. Okay? Romans 8 speaks to the spiritual adoption through Christ Jesus as co-heirs and joint heirs to the kingdom, and he calls us sons of God. And it is not gender specific. So there's a lot of times you'll see people, you may be a female. Sometimes we'll say daughter of God or sons and daughters, right? We'll say that. But sons has no, that's men and women. That's everybody. So as we all have become sons, God was showing me in preparation yesterday for today. I was like, Lord, you ain't give me no time for this. But he said, it's in you. Don't worry. I said, okay. So as sons, we have all experienced what we're going to actually talk about today. So I want to ask a question. Do you know a prodigal, or have you been a prodigal? Raise your hand. I want to actually see hands. Do you know one, or have you been one, or maybe both? Okay. Okay. Everybody should be raising their hands, because though I'm giving you the testimony of my natural son returning, everybody that's in this room was a prodigal son. We were lost, and now we're found. And even in, as the Lord was showing me and preparing in Luke 15, there's several parables before we even get to the prodigal, to the lost son. There's the lost coin, the lost sheep. And I'm like, dang, it's a whole lot of loss going on. I've read this before. We got a whole lot of this that got that, you know, the Lord leaving the 99 for the one, right? And I went back and I reread Luke. As him and I were celebrating and rejoicing. There's something in that process in my waiting for my son that I've experienced now, something I hadn't experienced to that depth before. I'm always praying for my kids. When she at 18, you know, went off to college and did her thing. When he left, you're always praying for your kids, whether you have kids or not. This is something I want you to hear, that even if you don't have kids, because you're going to go through this. And I'm speaking to you as a mother. I'm speaking to you as a mother because you may not have experienced this yet because your children are small, but they're not always going to follow Christ. And they're not going to go the way that you're going. Maybe some will, maybe some won't. And you're going to have to learn and experience some measure of this. God forbid, because maybe you won't. Maybe you won't. But as all of you raised your hand, the ratio and the likeliness that you will is probably 100% based on the hands in this room. And so that's the point that I'm making, that as a son of God, we were all wanderers. We took our inheritance and squandered it. Are you following me? So in the parable of the son, the youngest son, he squandered his inheritance. Romans 8 says, we became what? Joint heirs and co-heirs. We received an inheritance from God as sons of God. So when you was outside, you know, whamming into the circle, or whatever they doing, you, right? You left Christ. He waited on you to come back. He prayed for you till you came back. Don't think that God ain't praying for you. He said, I pray that your what? Faith don't fail. So, and the enemy don't sift you like wheat. You are his son. So, when my son entered the establishment, I have not seen, although I did see him recently at my mother's death, but he wasn't even trying to talk to me. And I kept praying. The Lord used one of my watchmen in the ministry to give me some encouragement in the middle of January and said, the prodigal's coming home. Had my son's name, said, your prodigal's coming home. Keep praying. And I was like, I'm going to keep praying. So when the funeral came and I saw him, he didn't want no parts of me. I felt rejected. I felt sad. But I didn't let go of the word. I kept praying. So when I got the text message that he was ready to reconcile, I swung my leg out the bed like, hallelujah! Right? It didn't matter what he did. It didn't matter what happened. I was like, he back. That's how Jesus feels about us. Heaven rejoices when we repent. It's in the word. Heaven rejoices when we come back. When you repent, what does it mean? To return. Everyone that's in here is a son of God. So when we decide to walk with him, to talk with him, to have relationship with him, he's like, my son is back. And it don't matter what you did outside. You could have whammed 10 circles. And he's still going to rejoice as if it never happened. So when my son came through that door, oh, he looked so handsome. He is a handsome man. I did pretty good. I said, if I didn't know no better. And he came in there, oh, man, he was ready too. He fresh cut, face cut, hair crack, and like all the things. I said, where are you going? When he pulled up, I swung that just like I swung out that my leg out that bed that day. And I ran and hugged my child. And the way he hugged me back. And I was like, the prodigal's back. There was so much joy in me. And as God, I came home that night, God started the download before that, but he finished it after I got back, which brings me to my message today. And today's message is when sons come home, breaking generational curses through repentance and restoration. The devil thought he had me, but Jesus said, you are mine. The devil thought he had my kids, but Jesus said, I. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. Huh? When sons come home, breaking generational curses through repentance and restoration. We're reading out of Luke 15, the anchor scriptures, 15:11 through 24. We're not reading all of that today. Let's make sure we get a mic or two in the audience. Get your Bibles out, Bibles with the spine or whatever your phones are, getting ready. We're going to do a little quick draw McGraw, give some people some mics so we can get through these scriptures really quickly because we got to get to communion. So the anchor scripture on your own time, you can read Luke 15:11 through 24. I'm not going to read that all right here today. Most of you said you knew the story. If you don't, you should be actually going back to listen to it anyway. So the first thing I want to touch on is the root of rebellion, which is what leads people astray in the first place. The root is actually rebellion. Yeah, just pass, just get it. Yeah, just give it, put it in the middle of the room so you ain't got to go far. Someone pull up Luke 15:12 and someone pull up Hebrews 12:15. Raise your hand so we'll know where to go from one scripture to the next. Luke 15:12, amen.
Luke 15:12, I'm reading out of the NLT. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons.
Amen. And so the youngest son, the inheritance usually when you receive an inheritance, it goes to the firstborn. So just like Esau and Jacob, when the youngest son was requesting and asking for his inheritance, it was premature. It was before time. And not only was it premature and before time, it was out of time because he squandered it. Right? If you read that, Luke 15. He squandered it. And then he was out there kicking it with the pigs and he just got filthy out there. Squandered his inheritance. Why? Because it was out of order. So a lot of you, a lot of us, we receive Christ through salvation. We receive the inheritance of all that he is and all that he has, and we've been squandering it. Squandering our gifts, squandering the word, squandering our time, just squandering. And then we're outside getting filthy. And then we're afraid to come back to Christ because what are we going to do? So even he was saying, like, I can't come back as a son. If I come back, I'm going to have to come back as a servant. I can't even come back. But the God we serve, even the example I gave you about my son, he came right back into sonship. He didn't make him tear his way back in. Okay, well, you got to be in the field for a minute. Then you can work your way back. And sometimes we do that with people. And especially if it's your child, where you feel like you have some authority, It's like, you're going to learn your lesson. Let me make sure you right before I let you all the way in. Let me make right. But Christ did not do that to us. He allowed us to come right back into sonship. We was turning cartwheels in the club yesterday. But God didn't say, I'm going to watch you for a little minute. I'm going to make you this and not that. He gave him his full inheritance as if he never squandered it as a son. And so I was looking at that and I said, ooh. Because it became the blueprint. It was already in my heart because I was moving by the heart of the Father. So I had no, probationary period planned for my son. He might not know nor understand, but we're going to keep pushing as if he's my son. Right? So there's a root. People don't just decide they just going to just be doing cartwheels in the club and be on a pole somewhere. There's always a root to whatever the enemy has sent them or said to them to cause the rebellion. Nobody just wakes up like, I'm just going to rebel against God. I'm going to rebel against my mama. There is, and the Lord was showing me the generational inheritance of rebellion through the forefathers and the family. And that's why you're all prodigals in the room. Because that same root touched everybody, to include myself. That's why I'm telling you, if you have children, you're going to see it. You don't get away from it. I don't care how many Bible studies, how many prayers you do with your kids. I had my kids in the closet with me. But when you train them up in the way they should go, baby, they not only come back, they come back praying in tongues like mine do. Praying for you, laying hands on you. That's fruit. But even in their rebellion, when they were kids, of course, it wasn't that fun. My daughter's so happy we could do prayers on the weekend, you know. She's like, this was like when we was a kid. And I was like, you hated it. What you excited about this? She didn't hate it. But she would come in there to get through it, you know. She the loudest intercessor now. I'm like, dang, girl, go ahead and beat the devil up. Hebrews 12:15. Who got that? Cool. Looking diligently. So rebellion is really random. That's my point. There's a root and it's generational. So I could have pointed the finger at one of my kids, but I saw rebellion in all three. It just might have looked different. Not only did I see it in all three, I saw it in me. So guess what? It started with me. So I could point the finger at them and be like, why are you doing this? But they inherited it. So we can't be so quick to be putting our finger in our kids' faces for the maturity that they lack and the grace that they need. You as a mother, I'm speaking to you as a mother, have to find the grace to understand, okay, I see what you're doing, but where's the root of it? If it's showing up in you, that means I still got work to do. That means I got to cut down some altars and go, you got to pray. So you can put them on punishment, take the phones, take the devices, do this, do that. Yes, I think some of that does work. But yeah, true. She hacked everything. So you can do that, but that doesn't fix your problem. It doesn't fix it. But the root of rebellion and offense is where pain grows when it's untreated. So even your children get offended. And the spirit of offense is what roots that pain when it's not dealt with. And even though they're children, when I was growing up, we were to be seen and not heard. So there was never no my side of the story. You ain't got no side of the story. Right? And I know there's gentle parenting going on right now, but all of that don't work either. You can't turn a blind eye. You have to, you know, even the Bible says that the Lord chastises and corrects those that he loves. So correction is necessary, but sometimes correction brings offense to a child. So you have to find the root of why they're receiving the correction as offensive, so that you can then pray through, cover, dismantle the root of what's causing the offense. Because if not, you're going to see more rebellion. So a wounded child will misinterpret correction as rejection. And I see it in my spiritual kids even, as adults, where you will try to course correct or align them in an area, and it's received as offense and rejection. I've done something wrong. I'm not this. That is because there's a root and a wound that was never treated as a child. And so there's a measure of grace even I have to have dealing with adults and spiritual kids that are dealing with the root of rejection and rebellion as a spiritual mother. So I gotta sometimes, okay, let's talk about this. I'm not mad, right? But let's go about this another way. And let's figure out why you're offended. Why is the root now continuous rebellion? I'm not gonna listen to Apostle. I'm not finna do that. Every time she got something to say to me, she's trying to tell me something I did wrong, right? So we'll see those roots raise up with us as adults if we don't deal with them. And so as a mother to many, I have natural children, I have spiritual children, I'm speaking to you to let you know there's a solution to whatever rebellion you're seeing in your children. Get to the root. Right? So there was a reason why. Let's be honest. As a parent, I could easily say, he out of order. He dishonored me. He disrespected me. He did this. Yes, that is true, possibly. But I had to go further in prayer. And I did. And I said, why is he like this, but these other two ain't? I was more unsaved most of his life. So sometimes there's even, well, look what they got versus what I got. I got beat every time I did something wrong. I was this, I was that. And here you are. He's watching me now that I know better. And I'm saved. That's why your household needs to be saved. So now I don't do, he don't even know half of what they knew, right? Because things were different. So there's a measure of grace that I had to step back and say, wait a minute. Yes, this is happening. Yes, I don't like it. But he saw a little bit more of not who I am today. And so the offense wasn't random. It was rooted in past pain. It was rooted in misunderstandings. It was rooted in outside influences, because that was very much true. And that amplified the division. But what I learned is pain, when it's not healed, becomes a doorway. So we got to shut that door. And as an adult or a person of authority, I could say, let's talk about what you did. And make it all about that, but that will be out of order. But I can now say, let's deal with the door that got us here. And let's go back into our generational bloodline, which I know where it is. I'm just not saying it here, but I know where the root was. And so the issue wasn't just the act of dishonor, but it was influence and unhealed wounds. And the real battle is generational patterns trying to repeat. And that's what I was shakata sotata all these years. So when I became the first generation chain breaker, he came for them with a vengeance. He came for my children with a vengeance. And I was like, how in the world am I going to be ministering to people, spreading the gospel, laying hands, healing and delivering people, and my own children is teetering and tottering and looking to the left and looking to the right? And I'm crying out to God, restore me. Restore my kids. Restore. It feels crazy that I got all these spiritual kids that I'm helping, and they're growing and maturing. And my kids are wandering. But I couldn't force it. I had to deal with the generational root in prayer. And I'm giving you my testimony today. All three of mine is back. God did it. God did it. And I'm like, fangirling right now, like, my daddy about that life. But he said, and he did what he said he was gonna do. Don't play with him. And so the strategy of division targets family first. That's why your family is the first one cussing, clowning, and turning cartwheels. It ain't your job and your friends and your neighbors. It's your family that turn up the most. When you come to Christ, why you at that church? It's a lady preaching. What? why are you doing it? You know it looked like a cult. Where the men at? You know, you spending a lot of time Bible study. Every time I call you, you got Bible study, got church, you got this, you got that. You ain't got no time for me. You in that church, but you got all the time for the church. You got all the time for them. And so the enemy will target and bring division to your family. John 10 and 10, somebody get that. And then we'll do Matthew 12 and 25. While you're getting that, I'm going to make a few points about the strategy from Satan to target your family. And so the enemy targets covenant relationships. That's what he does. So if anybody that's a spiritual daughter or son to me, the enemy came for them relationships. Why? Because it's a covenantal relationship. And you being a part of this church is also that. It's a marriage. It's a union. So what's going to happen? You're going to be sleepy. You're going to be tired. You're going to be seeing another church. Well, nobody asked you to go to church at all before you join. And then after you join, every week, you got three churches to go to. The enemy is going to target where you are in covenant. So if you're married, he's coming for it. If you got kids, he's coming for them. If you went to church and you're in covenant, he's coming for it. And he going to use your family to do it. Lanaya, who's got John 10 and 10?
Matthew 12 and 25.
Y'all know this one well.
John 10:10. I'm reading out of ESV. John 10:10, reading out of ESV. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
Amen. Amen. So when you see him, just know he got three assignments. One, if not two, if not three, or all of them. So when Satan shows up and starts to strategize to bring division between you, your sister, you and your family, you and your friends, you and your church, you and your spiritual parent, you and so on and so, it is only to kill, steal, and destroy. That's it. Matthew 12:25. Who's got that?
Matthew 12:25, this is an ESV. Knowing their thoughts, he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand.
Correct. So Satan can't take out Satan, right? Satan can't cast out Satan. It's God and God or Satan and Satan, right? There is no... So the house will be divided. If you walk rocking with Christ, Satan's coming for it. One of the two is going to win. Either you're going to let the devil win or God is going to win. But the enemy assigns voices that will validate the pain, but not the healing. That's what he does when he starts to strategize division and to cause you to look at this covenantal relationship crazy, right? When he does that, he's assigning people. People ain't never talked to you. The neighbor ain't never said hi to you getting the mail. But suddenly, he will assign them to bring separation and division. So division is the enemy's doorway into bloodline cycles. So if you go back into looking at your mother, and then say you're having trouble with your mother, relationship with your mother, right? Or your kids. When I look back, when the enemy was working real hard against me and my daughter, I mean hard as a kid. I had two boys and one girl, but the girl was the most rebellious. And I was like, "This, we're supposed to be besties. But we really tussling in these streets. Why? You know, like, I don't understand. When I looked at, when I got saved, and I started spiritually mapping the bloodline cycles so that I could find prayer points to destroy the altars, the exact same relationship my mother had with her mother. The exact, if not worse. And I don't know if it goes further back than that. And so my mother has recently passed. But Jezebel, there was a Jezebelic influence in my mother that was not in alignment with who I am in Christ. And Jezebel used to speak to me through my mother and say, "You over there trying to break generational curses." And I just couldn't understand why my mama would say that to me. Like, why you keep saying this? But I had to break from the offense and say, "Oh, the devil mad. Because the curse is now broken." And that's what the devil didn't want. It was like, "I got your mama. I had your grandma. I thought I had you. And I wanted your child. But because you stood up and fought day after day, year after year, you broke the curse. The altar died. It died. And now I have full rest." So me and my daughter are now praying together. I just told y'all. She in a scene. I'm over there. She breaking walls, altars, everything. Praying in the spirit. Covering me. Covering this church. Covering the ministry. Like going in the spirit. I'm like, that's my daughter. That's my daughter. Yeah, get them. Get them. That wasn't the case in generations past. So the curse is broken. You got to break the curse. Don't be mad and offended. I could have stood on her that offense, like, you breaking generations. Matter of fact, ma'am, I sure am. God bless you. Love you, mama. You sure right. She sure is. And is. You good, sis? Oh, you ain't good? You manifesting? I'll talk to you later. Right? Stop holding on to what the devil talking about. Because he's just trying to use the division as a doorway for the bloodline cycle to repeat. You got to say no to it. So there are times when unhealthy influences reinforce our wounds instead of helping us to heal. So when pain finds agreement instead of correction, division grows. Come out of agreement with the offense and the pain. Because once you come into agreement, the devil's like, got him. So you gotta break the agreement so that you can heal properly. So when you begin to identify these generational patterns, you gotta confront them. Spiritual warfare is not an option. It's a mandate. Otherwise, for all of you that want kids, have kids, you're going to see it again, baby. It don't skip generations. It's coming for your kids and your kids' kids and your kids' kids if you don't do something about it. So you're going to have to confront. You say, I'm tired of this. I done blocked them. I'm on the block ministry and I ain't finna hear this because I'm living for Christ and I'm finna just go to my church and live my life and you ain't got to talk to me. That demon is still in your bloodline. And it's going to show up in your kids. So you can block your mama. You can block your cousin, your brother, your best friend, your neighbor. You can block them, but it ain't going to stop the cycle from repeating. Exodus 25 through 6. Exodus 25 through 6. And I want somebody else to get Galatians 3 and 13. Whoever that is, stand up so we can move quickly. Exodus 25 through 6. We're talking about generational patterns. By the word of God. Exodus 25 through 6. Anybody? Go ahead, Olivia. Verse 5 through 6. Alexis, get Galatians 3:13. Iniquity to the third and fourth generation. Do you have it? Do you want to?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You said 5 through 6, right?
Yeah.
You shall not bow to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments.
Y'all heard that? God said, I will punish to the third and fourth generation. And I will cleanse and heal. I'll never forget, a few years ago, he told me in prayer that he was cleansing my bloodline 1,000 generations. I didn't even find that scripture till after he told me that. I was just in prayer one day, And I was like, yo, like, oh, iniquity is unrepented sin. And we're all born into iniquity. You're born into it. So when people say, I'm gay, I was born this way, I can't argue with you. Because you were. You were born into sin just like me. The difference between me and you is I've been born again by the Spirit. So you are inherited. You've inherited half of my family gay, if not more than half. So I find it not strange that I was dealing with same-sex attraction. My whole family, my kids, tempted. Same-sex attraction. Come on now. I'm the only one in the room. I'm just real by mine. Because I've been delivered completely. So I ain't stressed or worried or nothing. Because can't nobody tell your story, your testimony better than you, baby. So you can go find somebody from 30 years ago. And it ain't gonna matter today. So when people tell me, oh, I'm this, I'm that, I've been through this, I've been through that. And I said, what that mean? Me too. You want me to tell you how to get out? Because you can. Galatians 3 and 13. God redeemed you from the curse on the cross. We got people today that are still fighting with who they are in Christ and if they even have the ability to become who they're called to be because of what they're experiencing in their life that's been passed down through generations, through generational curses that God's already redeemed them from. He's not going back on the cross again for what you did yesterday. He'd be up there every day. It's done. It's finished. Receive it by grace through faith. Receive your salvation. What you got going on and what your family got going on has already been taken care of on the cross. Redeemed from the curse. This is what we got to show people when we're evangelizing. Most people struggle with that. Well, I still curse. Well, I still have sex. Well, I still do this and I still do that. I cannot walk with God. Because they don't understand the redemptive power. We just told them to accept, believe, and confess. And to receive God. And that's all you had to do to be saved. And you got to fight your way to the day you die. Lies. So these things that you may struggle or see in your bloodline or even in you are not your personality cycles. They're learned strongholds. They're learned strongholds. Find it not strange that some families have addiction, alcohol things, and they have issues. Everybody smoke weed. Everybody's a drunk. Everybody's right? Why? Those are strongholds that are in the family. All of a sudden, you got the same addiction, same struggle. And if we don't confront the pattern, we will unconsciously pass it down. If you don't confront it, so I saw things in my daughter when she was young. And she'll tell you, I started speaking to her about what I saw when she was like 9, 10. I saw some of them spirits. And I said, let me tell you something. Didn't I? that ain't what you want. But instead of me condemning what I saw, I gave her my testimony. You don't know who you are. You think you like this? I did too. She shocked. Oh yeah, girl, you ain't hiding. I see it. Not only do you think you like what you think you're looking at, I'm telling you it's going to take you to hell. And I'm telling you I overcame. And if you ever want to talk about how to overcome, you know where to find me. My room is right down the street over here. Because I did not force her transition. Because that ain't right. And I know better and you know better. No, I confronted the generational pattern with the truth. And told her, I got a solution. You just come holler at me when you want it. Did I not? Baby, you can walk around here all day. But I'm going to tell you what you're not going to do in my house. I laid the law. I laid the boundary down. Be who you want to be. I know what you are, and it ain't what you think it is. But what you're not going to do is be this and that you ain't in here. Because people that's grown got their own. In this house, we serve the Lord. That's what we do here. So at any time you don't like that, that's what it is. But I talk like that. So she ain't feeling no type of way with me saying it now. Because I said it just like that to her. And went and made a sandwich. You gonna eat or no? I did. She'll tell you. If we don't confront the pattern, we will unconsciously pass it down. Don't ignore it. You see Ray Ray over there acting a fool. You did the same thing he did. You got a belt. Why? Get the belt, but tell him why. He getting his belt. You see what I'm saying? What one generation tolerates, the next generation inherits. That's what happened to me. So now I don't feel crazy because I'm struggling with this stronghold that I can't shake. I didn't know I needed Christ to shake it. See, when you're trying to do stuff in your own will, hey, baby. When you're trying to do stuff in your own will, you ain't gonna never make it. So I tried to do things to correct what was spiritually going on in my family that had a generational hold on me with willpower. And it don't work. You need the blood of Jesus and some demons to be cast out. So the mother's role in situations like this is to stand. Don't strive. That's my motherly nugget for today. You are fighting principalities and powers and rulers and wickedness and high places. You're not fighting what the baby did or how they're presenting or how, that's not your fight. You gotta get in that closet. Get on your knees. Ask the Holy Spirit to unveil the root so you can attack it at the root. Instead of putting, you know, baby's kids in the corner, because that doesn't teach them. You have to explain boundaries. You have to show them how to fight for themselves. You have to show them how to rebuke the enemy. Baby, when that thought come back, this is what you do. You got to tell them, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. The Bible says if you resist him, the devil has to flee. The devil, so you got to teach your child. When you hear that devil telling you, when you hear, go steal that cookie, this is what you do. Instead of, you stole that cookie. Right? Because they're going to go right back and steal the cookie again. I promise you. She did. Baby. And lie about it.
So now you got two whoopings for stealing the cookie and for lying, right? So I started to see a lying spirit. I started confronting the spirit. You lying spirit, I bind you in the name of Jesus. My daughter like froze, right? Because you got to speak to the spirit that's trying to take them. Instead of why did you lie? They don't know why they lied. Matter of fact, they're going to lie to you by 5 o'clock again. I'm so tired of them lying to me. Deal with the spirit. You're going to see some results. So there's something that people have to come to when they see the root of rebellion in their life. In Luke 15, 17 through 18, it says he came to himself. He came to himself. He came to, so everybody, the Holy Spirit will give you a nugget and you're going to come to yourself. Even if it's for a second, right? You might be in the middle of taking a puff puff pass and the pass is on its way to you. And you're going to come to yourself at some point. So the decision has to be made. What I'm finna do next? Because the opportunity for repentance always comes. But you gotta choose it. You gotta choose it. Because repentance is the catalyst to the return. And in Luke 15, 17, it says he came to himself. Right? He came to himself. In 2 Corinthians 7 and 10, it says godly sorrow produces repentance. Godly sorrow, that's conviction, produces repentance. If you want to see, if you want to come back to Christ as a son of God, you got to repent. Right? You have to get good at it. Repentance is a gift. And repentance is the catalyst to returning home. So you have to teach your children repentance, not just apologies. Stop running Ray across the street to apologize. Because it takes more than just apology. Teach them forgiveness and apology, but you gotta teach them repentance and what it looks like and how to get through, because you need the help of the Holy Ghost to repent. Because it says godly sorrow produces repentance. So repentance is a change of mind, a change of direction, a change of alignment. It's returning back. Repentance requires humility. You have a prideful child. You might have been a prideful child in the kingdom. You might be arrogant. You might not. You need to humble yourself. Humble yourself. Change direction. Break agreement with the lie. And so when we break agreement, we're breaking and we're uprooting the root and we're depositing the truth. And in this is where we see the prodigal being restored as a son. So as a mother, as you're watching your children grow and mature, that's what God does to us. That's what God is doing when he's looking at his sons to come back. When John the Baptist was saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what are we doing in these end times? You're seeing prophets and people like me stomping around outside. Repent, repent, come back. Christ is coming, the return of Christ. He wants the sons to return home to him. And so repentance is not optional. It's a must. And you got to stand on the word and pray it through. Isaiah 49 and 25. Isaiah 49 and 25. It basically says, I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. There's your scripture with what to do. When I was sitting in my closet, I didn't know when. I didn't know if it's going to be months, years, weeks. I had no idea. God moved fast. I mean, he moved fast. All I could do was wait on his return and pray. That's all I could do. So when I got the message, I said, God did it. He said, Stan, there were so many times I wanted to war and be mad and angry and frustrated. How could he do this to me? Such dishonor, such disrespect. And God said, shut up. Say nothing. I felt numb because I felt so hurt. As a mother, I felt so hurt. My own child. Are you serious, God? It's one thing to be hurt by a man. It's another thing to be hurt by a friend. It's another, but your child, you have got to be kidding me. It is one of the worst hurts you will ever experience in your life. And I'm like, God. And in Isaiah 49, he says, I will contend with those contending with you. And I will save your children. To God be the glory. He saved my kids. And all I did was stand. That's what I did. James 5 and 16 says, the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. You cannot argue someone into healing. Hold your breath. Find it for something else. You cannot defend yourself into reconciliation. Stop over-explaining to get understanding and agreement and reconciliation. People don't care. And after you get done doing all that, they're going to say, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. And you're like, ah. So you got a war in prayer, not in the flesh. There were so many moments I wanted to defend myself. I wanted to go online. Let me tell y'all what had really happened. See, because you know when he was like two. This whole situation with Glorilla and her sister, I mean, that's just diabolical. I'm like, why are you outside like this, sir? I said, sis. You better repent. You better repent. You better repent. These people be tripping out here. But there were moments I wanted to defend myself. And there's going to be moments you're going to want to defend yourself. Whether it's your child, you ain't got no kids yet, or somebody else. You're going to want to defend yourself. But the Lord told me to stand and to pray and to refuse to react. To break the curse instead of continuing it. Because guess what would have happened if I would have did that? You look just as crazy as they do. You look just as crazy as they do. Because the first thing they say, ain't you supposed to be a Christian? Don't you got a church and a, ain't she a pastor? Ain't you? You taint your testimony. Let them talk. They talked about Jesus. You ain't nobody. Sorry, but not sorry. He was blameless, sinless, did absolutely nothing. And he did not defend his reputation. They called him Beelzebub, the devil, and everything else. And God sat there when Pontius Pilate was talking. Did you do? If they say I did. What? But we the first ones. We finna go on TikTok. We finna be on Facebook. Fake book. We finna be on there. Let me tell y'all what's really the tea. You looking crazy. They looking crazy. Crazy with a K. Come on. Come on. So, restoration is God's final word. Restoration is God's final word. Period. Restoration is not pretending it didn't happen. It did. As my daughter say, feel how you feel, but stand on what you know. She says it to me all the time. Feel how you feel, Mom. Stand on what you know. You're right. Restoration is healed relationship. Restoration breaks the bloodline cycle. And restoration, peep this, upgrades the family spiritual authority. That's what the devil never wanted. He wants you to stoop down and get low so he can continue that evil cycle. You got to rise above it. If you never get redemption, if you never get restoration, if you never get an apology, stop looking for apologies. You want people to repent, because your apology don't mean nothing to me. If you're going to turn around and still have the same heart posture, if you're going to turn around and still do what I told you not to do and do it the next day yet again, I need to see repentance. And that's an action. That's a verb. Don't talk. Walk the talk. Talk the walk. All of that. I need to see your walk. I need to see the fruit of what you're saying, which is you returning. That's what I want to see. And that's what God wants to see. Stop telling God, I'm sorry, knowing just the next day you finna keep doing. If you're going to repent, repent. Not just to get out of trouble in the moment. So you can declare for yourself and for your family that the cycle ends here. Dishonor stops here. Unforgiveness stops here. Narcissistic functions and abuse stops here. All of it. Division, discord, disunity stops here. We are not carrying wounds. We are turning them into weapons. Turn your wound into a weapon of mass destruction against Satan. You're not going to let me or make me carry this wound down to my kids. You're not going to make me hold on to this offense that from my mama and my mama's mama and send it down to my kids. It stops here. So I'm going to declare today, we're closing with this prophetic declaration. I want everybody to repeat after me. Declare aloud. In this house, sons return. In this bloodline, curses break. In this generation, we choose repentance over pride. We choose restoration over division. And we will not pass down what Christ died to do. And we break it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So let's get the communion together. Glory be to God. We're going to quickly go through in preparation for communion. Everyone, please be as still as you possibly can. This is a sacred time, a time of remembrance, repentance. What an on-time day to remember what Christ has done. And so I'm going to go through some of the repentance and preparation for communion. If you are saved and you are a believer and a follower of Christ, you can come and get communion. So I will not be passing it to you. You will be getting up to come and get your communion. Today we come to the Lord's table, not casually, not routinely, but reverently. reverently and gratefully. The church has gotten away from the sanctity and the sacredness of communion. You cannot, you must repent and pray before you take communion. This is a very serious thing. This is not anything that you are to dishonor. Communion is not just a tradition of the church. We not just up here singing by and by, but the blood, oh, the blood, oh, the blood, oh, the blood, sign my name, right? Oh, the blood. Yes, we have our hymns and we have all these things, but there is a meaning. There is that we have to very reverently and honorable really remember what Christ has done for us so that we could receive the message I just gave you today, that we have the ability to return as sons. It is a command from our Savior. It is a proclamation of the gospel, and it is a sacred moment of remembrance and renewal. That's what communion is. Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Communion is first about remembrance. If you don't know and it hasn't been explained to you, remembrance, renewal, and restoration. And there is a measure of repentance that must be taken. And you can take communion any day. I take them all the time. Praying, fasting, and renewing the covenant that I have with Christ. It could be a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. We don't do religious ritual activities. We don't just go to church on a certain Sunday to take communion. You better get you some communion in your house, some bread, and the whole thing, and get it cracking. Because we shall always be honoring the sacred covenant that we have with him. So it's about remembrance. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. We must remember that his body was broken, bruised, martyred, and spit upon. Remember that his blood was shed. Remember the price that he paid for our redemption so that we could be restored as sons, so the sons could come home and we could receive our inheritance. The prophet Isaiah described what Jesus would endure. In Isaiah 53 and 5, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. So when you sup and drink of this cup, you are taking on the redemption and the remembrance. For the healing power, the redemptive healing power of Christ. We remember today that he was suffering and that his suffering was personal. He was wounded for our transgression. So communion is also about examination. That's where repentance comes in. So before you come up here and get your cup, sit for a moment and pray, even as we're preparing everything, to repent. Allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you. You do not want to dishonor communion and take it in dishonor. So you must repent. This is not a call to perfection. If it weren't for Jesus, none of us would be able to come here and take this communion today. It's a call to be humble. It's a call to repent. And it's a call to be sincere. This is a time that we pause, we reflect, we confess, and we realign our hearts with Christ. And communion is also to help us to prepare for the hope that he has given us. So approach this table with gratitude. Approach this table with reverent honor. approach this table in faith, recognizing that because of Jesus's broken body and because of the blood that was shed on the cross, we're forgiven, we're redeemed, we're restored, we're reconciled, and we are made new. So Heavenly Father, we come before you with humble and grateful hearts. We thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus, for his body was broken for us and his blood was shed for the remission of our sins. We thank you for loving us so deeply that you gave what was most precious to redeem us. Lord, we stand on your word in 1 Corinthians 11:28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. We take this moment to examine our hearts before you. Search us, O God, and know us. Forgive us of every sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and restore right fellowship within us. We receive today this bread and this cup, not as a ritual, but as a declaration of our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. May we never forget the sacrifice of Calvary, and may we live in the power of his resurrection. As we partake today, unite us as one body, strengthen our faith, and renew our hope until the day we share this meal with you again in the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So let's start with, I don't know, front row, back row, I guess it doesn't really matter. Let's start on this side. And then we'll go with the other right side. We've already done the prayer, but We'll go ahead now and we'll take of the bread. We thank you, Father, for the body that was broken, bruised, and marred upon and spit upon, Father, for our redemption and for the power of Jesus Christ that flows in us. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice. Father, hopefully everyone in the time that you were getting your communion were able to repent and allow the Lord to examine your heart and make your confession before him. We will now take the bread now, break it, and eat all of it. As we prepare to take of your cup, oh Jesus. As we prepare to take up your cup today, Father, we thank you for the redemptive power through the blood. We thank you for the blood of Jesus, the blood that heals, the blood that redeems, the blood that restores, the blood that renews and reconciles. We thank you, Father, for the healing power that we have found in your blood. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made on Calvary, on the cross for us. And so, Father, we now take and drink all of it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We have taken of the cup. Glory be to God. Let's now prepare to close out for today. I want to just sing a little praise. I just want to have a little praise. Just a little praise for our post-communion. Yes. Let's go ahead and pray. Praise ourselves out of here today. We didn't stomp, we didn't broke chains, we didn't took communion, we get ready to go eat. Yes, yes, I love it. Go ahead, sing it loud. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching. Yeah. The sound of heaven touching earth. Thank you for listening and allowing us to be a part of your spiritual journey and growth in Christ. Listen to fresh new episodes weekly on Wednesdays to be equipped with the tools, knowledge, and strategies needed to dispossess the enemy, take dominion, and be delivered into the promises of God. No more wilderness wanderings, warriors. Walk in your purpose and discover your identity where you are free to be me, flawed and free. If you were blessed and empowered by today's show, we would appreciate your sown seed of support through donations and charitable giving as led by the Holy Spirit. You can go now to theflawedandfree.com/give. That's theflawedandfree.com/give. Or you can cash app us at $flawedfree. On Cash App. We are a nonprofit organization with a 501c3 designation. So all gifts, donations, and sown seeds of support that are given are also tax deductible. Thank you for your seed, for we know that it is placed in good soil, and we pray that you agree. So God bless and live your best life in Christ. Love you later. Till next time.